You charge them like dick pics per hour.
No. One per day is good.
That's an album of dick pics.
Okay. Before I start recording,
I've topped this up already.
Before I start recording, do you want to get all your rapey things out of the way so you don't actually say anything rapey on air?
Dave's a rapist.
I don't work with kids. I can say what the fuck I want.
Yeah, you don't work with kids. You can be a convicted rapist, right? That's legal.
I just can't talk about things at work in great detail.
Yeah. That thing where you test things and it might be related to some games that are being developed.
Is that about testes?
You don't have any?
Hello and welcome to episode 42 of the Xbox Fantacast. I'm your host, David Jason, Gamer Tag VLR. Joining this week, as ever, is the champion of white, Matthew Gamage.
Hi. I get Tiger 39, and sometimes I champion light.
And the Herald of Darkness, Daniel Smith.
Hey, Lord Atten. On Xbox, yeah.
I know you don't understand
that. Why are we light and darkness?
I was going to say, I know you don't get the reference. It's Alan Wake references.
Oh, okay. I was trying to think of what it could be referring to.
Hey, spoilers, I killed you?
What?
Spoilers, I killed you.
Oh, it's darn.
Spoilers, you die, you psycho.
Well, death is inevitable.
Dan, it was weird when I watched that television video where you just kind of danced around a room.
Yeah. I'm sure it was.
That was
weird.
Yeah. And then just occasionally went up to the screen and went,
I know.
Well, I was on a lot of drugs. A lot of drugs.
You just slit that woman's throat and bat rail.
Yeah.
No, that never happened. That's not. No one's convicted me about that. So.
Tell me I'm a psycho. Anyway, let's start, as ever, with what we have been playing. And I'll go first because it's kind of vaguely uninteresting. Lots of Battlefield 3, as ever, because Battlefield 3 is awesome. And I played, finished, and reviewed Alan Wake's American Nightmare this week.
Yeah.
Did I?
What did you give it?
You were doing it. What did you do? What did you give it?
I gave it a 4.5 out of 5.
Cool.
Yep. I had a lot of nice things to say in that review. If you want to go and read that review, you can head over to thegamefanatics.com. Because as we are the official Xbox podcast of thegamefanatics.com, which I keep forgetting to say at the beginning.
This is the beginning. You shoehorned it in. This is the introduction.
It's all good.
It's all good. The only thing other than playing is Minecraft when I get a spare minute at work.
At work?
Yeah. Well.
Same Minecraft.
Well, occasionally loading screens takes like 3 minutes, so.
So you move some blocks around and.
Well, I just have it open all the time.
No, as you do.
They're like cool with that, are they?
They don't notice. They would not be cool with it if they.
Well, as long as you keep up with your work, I mean, it's not really an issue, is it?
No, it's not like I'm just sat there all day going, "Are you doing the work, dude? Nah, bruh, Minecraft."
Well, I'm sure they wouldn't mind if you were just like reading a book while you're waiting.
Turns up 45 minutes late for work and just starts playing Minecraft.
Funny story, did turn up 45 minutes late for work this week.
That's why I was saying that.
Yeah.
I wasn't just making up a number that was exactly the same as the number that you put up with.
But that was fine. Mm-hmm. It was actually fine because of that. I turned up and for an unknown reason that I won't say, there was not a lot of work to do for the first 4 hours of work.
Yeah. Cool. Because a lot of rampant mongoose got loose. And
yeah, there were like geese all over the fucking office. I couldn't do anything.
Oh, mongooses.
Yeah, mongoose.
And I said geese.
Is it not mongoose?
They were both.
Yeah, there were mongooses and geese.
Oh, jeez. And raccoons.
They knocked over all the Lego pieces, had to put them all back together. It took hours.
Is the computer made of Lego pieces?
No.
Oh, spoil my dreams, though. Spoil your dreams.
Anyway, what have you been playing this week, Dan Face? Although I could probably get...
Me Face.
Oh,
or...
just for continue. I have played Pac-Man Championship Edition DX.
Did you remember that? Because I've also been playing that.
Yeah, just as I introduced you, I was like, wait, I've been playing things. I've been playing crack.
Yeah, it is a complete crack game. It's like, It's good. But because I've changed the Xbox, and I need to redo all of my scores. It remembers that I've got S rank on things, but it doesn't remember my actual scores, which is strange.
I'm still in the top 300 on one of my scores.
Yeah. Well, I'll see when I get to that that section where I am still, because it's locked right now.
Well, when I get to the half-course time trials. Well, that's basically all there is on
half-course time trials.
Yeah, that's basically all there is on half-course. Once you've done all the time trials, if you're not better than 197th, I win.
All right. Battlefield 3, been playing Warp, because I paid for that after playing the trial. And Warp's really cool.
I meant to download the trial of Nexus. I'll do that tonight.
Warp does sound quite good, actually.
It is fun.
Although I'm Alive comes out on Wednesday.
See, this is my thinking. I'm going to interrupt slightly. I'm going to download the trial for Nexus, give it a play. If it seems interesting, I might get it. And then I'm going to get I'm Alive no matter what. And then, at that rate, I can basically get Warp and not pay for it.
Yeah, because you get 100 points.
And then, Warp or Nexus, because they're both 800s. Whichever I enjoy the least, I can consider I got free.
Yeah, well, probably Nexus would be the free one.
Because Microsoft always...
However the hell you pronounce that.
Microsoft always do these things. And at the start, I was like, why would I want all of them? Those two don't even look good. And they get the version like, well, I might as well buy them anyway.
That one was free, so might as well. Anything else I've been playing? I've been playing a bit of Battlefield 1943 as well. Because, you know, I'm a crazy bastard.
Crazy sucker.
And that's pretty much, a bit of Modern Warfare, of course, yeah. How about you, Gamba?
Tell you what.
Yeah.
I've been playing, now sit down for this.
Yeah.
Battlefield 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Been playing that with you guys.
Yeah, you have.
Alan Wake. Mass Effect 1 I finished on Insane the other day. And I started off a new playthrough of that again to get to level 60, because I didn't realise you could do like a new game plus on that. I never knew you could do that.
Yep.
Which is now silly. You do.
But I don't know if that counts towards a level 60 achievement or not.
It should. I think that's one of the only ways to get to level 60, really.
Yeah. But hang on, I'll tell you exactly what, because I was just about to say. Like, I can't remember. I've played quite a few things recently.
It must have been good if you can't remember.
No, I'm going on my recent activity, and I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to list off what
just while Matt's doing this. I'll tell people what I'm going to be playing today, and that's Dark Souls. I'm going to punch myself in the face repeatedly with my controller.
I can tell you what I'm going to play today as well.
What?
I'm going to play Assassin's Creed Revelations whilst watching, hopefully, the French get beaten by the Irish, but also the Irish losing somehow as well.
Oh, that reminds me, the other thing I've been playing was the DLC for Revelations, which is Lost Archive. Very good.
According to my recent activity, I've played Assassin's Creed Revelations, Battlefield 3, Halo Reach. Yeah, we did play some Reach this week.
We did. We played hockey.
Yeah, we were playing hockey, yeah.
Lots of action, so.
Apparently, I also whacked Alan Wake 1 in. Oh, yeah, I put it in to get that award that I didn't have. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with my special edition thing. But yeah, Assassin's Creed, I was enjoying it. Like I was saying yesterday, I played Assassin's Creed I got it when it came out, but because it came out at the same time as Skyrim and Combat Evolved and, Battlefield, even though I didn't have it, I didn't really give it full attention. So as much as I got the story, I know what happened in the story, but I didn't do anything else. Like, none of the other things that, you can get achievements for or anything like that. I didn't even brush the surface of them, the tower defense, the defense game I did yesterday, and the Mediterranean defense game. I haven't even started that really. Whereas all my other Assassin's Creed games, I've done everything I could. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'm going back through and trying to be completionist.
Cool.
Well, at this point, when you've already completed the story, the Mediterranean defense really there's not much point in it. I mean, if you go for try and go for the missions where you get the items, because you can sell those items to the bomb guy, and that will be a quicker way to get money to buy all the books.
Oh, right, okay. Thanks. Yep. We'll discuss tactics later, Dan. We don't need to tell everyone.
Well, everyone knows that now.
And everyone will know.
And they'll also get achievements.
Because everyone
will.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much it. Oh, I played that crazy iPhone. Oh, go on, I'll tell you about an iPhone. What's that iPhone game you made me get, Dan?
What, Temple Run?
I've been loving on that. That's great fun just before bedtime.
It is some fun. It's good on toilet as well.
Apes. Funny.
Let's move on to Xbox sales for this week.
Yeah.
Dave swiftly moves on because I talk about iOS for 10 seconds.
well, how much is the talk about Temple Run? You run constantly. Sounds awesome.
And jump and slide.
Yep. And swipe and
tilt.
And tilt. Yeah,
and see things and hear things. Oh, that's one took me off for today, Gamage.
That's not on Xbox Live, it don't count.
No, it's a day tally.
Are we counting how many times Matt has sent me off?
Yeah, I started to
how many
ago.
Times someone does it.
Zero.
Anyway, top.
Hey.
Anyway, top 10 sales for this week for retail games for the Xbox. Coming in at number 10 is Saints Row the Third, which is doing surprisingly well. I didn't think it'd make 15 weeks in the charts. I'm now paying attention to how long things have been in the charts, by the way. Darkness 2 is at number 9.
Yeah.
Understandable. You'd expect it to be a bit higher considering it's a new game, but you know.
It's new, but it's kind of niche.
It is. It's got a very cult following, very strong cult following.
I'm glad you say niche correctly.
What, not niche?
Not the stupid niche. Americans.
Anyway.
For a reason.
Yep. The Elder Scrolls V Skyrim is at number 8.
Good.
Cool.
Yep. Final Fantasy 13-2 is at number 7.
Not good.
I'm kind of happy about that.
Yeah, and it's...
I've heard it's done all right, and I think, like, it looks better than the other one.
Well, it's been in the charts longer than Darkness, and it's still higher than Darkness, so that's a good thing.
And also, it's £25 in Sainsbury's.
Not bad. Forza Motorsport 4 is at number 6.
That's...
Yeah.
So I guess that's alien to me, because I don't really play racing games, so...
Yeah. At number 5 is Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3.
Not surprising.
Celebrate. It's down.
I'm actually surprised at how low it is.
Yeah, well, it was number 2 last week.
Hmm. Well, most people that are going to have it have already got it. I'll
never make another one ever again.
Yeah. Number 4 is Battlefield 3, which is awesome.
Yeah! It's fuck you, Modern Warfare!
It's been in the charts 2 weeks longer than Modern Warfare, and it's generally does a little better. Like, now. Obviously, it didn't do as well for the first couple of weeks, Modern Warfare 3.
But that's because most people that would ever get Modern Warfare 3 would have got it on the first few days.
Yeah,
so.
Modern Warfare is one of those buy instantly, and then there's a trickle of customers buying it later, whereas Battlefield 3 is a more of a slow burner. It did well, but it's going to consistently pick up sales week on week.
Yep.
Like, been in the chart 18 weeks, and it was number 3 last week, number 4 this week, so it doesn't shift much. It never really leaves the top 5.
Yeah.
Anyway, number 2... Oh, no, number 2. Number 3. Number 3 is FIFA 12.
Cool.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise. And number 2, new this week, is Syndicate.
Yeah.
That's cool. A good entry for a new game. Apparently, that's this one of those games I think I'm going to pick up eventually.
Mm. Yeah. I don't really know anything about it.
Yeah, neither do I.
It's
you have to tell
kind of Deus Ex-y.
Oh, okay.
Or Deus Ex. Yeah, damn it, I was about to do that. And at number 1... is, for some obscure reason, UFC Undisputed 3.
Okay.
Probably
is it
American,
new?
I would guess.
Hmm?
I'd imagine, I think it's new, and I would guess it's mainly Americans.
Nope, this is the UK sales.
Really?
And it's new last week.
Oh, it's not like, it's Ultimate Fighting Championship. Yeah, it's not like Wrestle.
No, yeah, it's Ultimate Fighting Championship Undisputed 3. Which, I don't know.
Maybe no one's buying games at the minute.
Apparently people just look like Undisputed and we don't notice.
Yeah, because we don't like Undisputed.
Yeah,
it's a thing that's out there.
Some weird sales. There's a lot of good games that you expect to be in the charts that are further down.
Mm. Like?
Well, let me open my browser now. we were talking about this before we started. Skylanders, Spyro's Adventure, which technically has nothing to do with Spyro, really, is at number 13, which is impressive, really, for a game that's for kids.
Mm.
And I was talking about the fact that the it comes with these little figures which act as memory cards, and scan them in and use them as characters in game. They can't be the company that makes them can't make them fast enough to keep them on shelves anywhere. They sell out week out, week in.
Which is crazy.
It's insane. This is the new. It's like for what Pokemon was for our generation. This is theirs apparently.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They.
I don't believe you.
Kids fucking love this shit.
I don't believe it's bigger than Pokemon.
No, not bigger than, but it's doing as almost as well as.
I don't think it'll last. The kids will realise that Pokemon's better. come on, kids. Come on.
What with Black and White 2 coming out? Yeah.
Yeah.
They've got to play the first one, then get the sequel. God, kids!
I'm disappointed to see Gears of War 3 down at the 30th this week.
Having said that, though, you know what? As much as I love Gears, I've liked all of the games, and I've liked all of the multiplayer. I've played the multiplayer in all of those games, and I've done exactly the same in every single one, where I've played it consistently for like 2 months, 3 months. Oh, I really love this. I don't think I'm ever going to stop playing this multiplayer. And then I'm like, I don't really want to play this multiplayer. I'm going to play something else.
It's not this bad. It's just that...
It's just there's other stuff that's better.
Yeah.
It just doesn't keep you there.
And honestly, it's one of my favourite games, and I do enjoy playing it online.
I occasionally get pangs and want to go back and play Horde mode.
Yeah, no, I like that.
I've done more for Gears 2, though, that I wanted to go back to Horde mode all the time.
Like I said, I was used to play. I used to play Gears 1 all the time. I used to play Gears 2 multiplayer when that came out. But then I played Gears 2 multiplayer for a bit, and then I was like, well, I think I'd rather go play Halo 3.
I think a real disappointing thing for this game was the DLC.
Yeah,
I can't admit. Like, it pissed me off. It's pissed me off even more that the final bit of DLC is more maps.
Yeah,
we had one bit of campaign DLC and what, four, three sets of maps?
Yeah, it's left a really bad taste in my mouth for Gears. I'm not enjoying it.
They best not release like a bit of campaign DLC after that. That doesn't
after
come
after the
included.
Season pass. Yeah,
that'll piss me right off. Because I'll really want to get it.
Well, they'll probably release another season pass.
Really? Do you think?
I don't know. Can they have 2 years of season for DLC?
Yeah, well, they're not releasing another Gears game soon, and Epic are going to milk Gears for all they can, really, in the nicest way possible. They're going to get as much content into it as they can before they shift on to the next game.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me to see them release another 4 set packs of DLC and another season pass for them, which I will not be touching. They've annoyed me. They've really let me down on that. I was expecting Gears to do well on DLC, and they didn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on to the news.
It's unsympathetic. I'm just drunk and sympathetic.
Sympathetically pissed.
Anyway, starting the news this week, according to a news report from The Verge, Valve is nice use of The Verge there, Dan. I like that website very much.
Yeah.
Mainly because I like Arthur Geese a whole bunch. Valve is preparing to launch a set-top box to compete with consoles, allegedly dubbed the Steam Box, and the announcements could come as soon as next week. Citing uncovered information from unknown sources, the tech blog says that Valve is developing a platform for low-cost, micro-sized PCs that would offer access to Steam's vast library of games, but in a streamlined console. I lost my place there. Style experience. It's possible that Valve... It's possible
do you
want
to start that again?
No,
seriously.
It's possible that Valve be producing... I was stumbling over your writing. It's possible that Valve be producing a Steam Box of its own, but other manufacturers will also be able to develop hardware for the platform.
I copy and pasted that.
I doubt it. The report claims that baseline models will have the Intel Core i7 CPU, an NVIDIA graphics process unit, and 8GB of RAM, such as the Alienware X51. That makes no sense, Dan. Read your shit.
Again, I copied and pasted it. What?
Which may have been designed to be a Steambox capable device.
The report claims that baseline models will have an Intel Core, RAM, Alienware, which may have been designed. What's wrong with that? What are you on about? Crazy.
It's that such as the Alienware X51, the context of that sentence. Anyway.
Well, it's because, it's comparable to that computer.
Yeah,
it's
not the, such as.
But anyway, again, copied and pasted.
Oh, God, grammar Nazis, stop it.
This isn't a grammar podcast, because we're trailing.
Are you sure?
Well, if it was, it would definitely be rated lowest.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see, one, if this is true, but I don't see why it wouldn't, and then, two, how it does.
Yeah. I don't think I'd be a buyer, but I think a lot of people that are PC loyal, it would be kind of a way to bring PC gamers over to a console-based thing.
Now,
I think it's most synonymous with a kind of the OnLive system, really. It's Steam's version of OnLive.
When OnLive works, by the way. It works surprisingly well. And I think Steam could do well with this. They have...
They've got a solid base.
They probably have a larger install base than any console, really. Mm. I mean, you're talking like...
Well, I don't know.
You're talking like 150 million Steam users.
Yeah.
There aren't that many Xboxes. It'd be
interesting to see what happens. This is another one of those things where we can talk about, well, this could happen, or this could happen, but really, wait.
Well, see, especially if it comes out with those... Well, if it comes out with an Intel Core i7 and depending which NVIDIA graphics processor unit it uses, it could do well and it could be quite future-proof for a couple of years at least.
With 8 gig of RAM is pretty nice.
As well, with it being a PC thing, they may allow you to change out certain things.
Yeah. They also mentioned that they would work with other developers as well to kind of bring them on board, and like you can customize chipsets and stuff.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. All right, moving on to number two. Bethesda is currently hiring for a next generation video game. According to the job listing, the studio is seeking experienced programmers to work on cutting edge technology for an unannounced game on future generation consoles.
Yep.
The timing of this seems about right, really.
Because, that we know of, they're not working on anything, do we?
I'm assuming they're working on something.
I
reckon they'll bring one more, something, even if it's not a massive game, bring something out before the end of this generation. Don't see why they'd suddenly start hiring now, but Skyrim's been out for 4 months.
Well, we know they're working on a big Skyrim, like, expansion. That's the thing we know.
I suppose that could be it, yeah.
But they're mentioning next generation things, so... The next Elder Scrolls.
If you look at the Bethesda's big titles, you're looking at a Fallout or an Elder Scrolls game.
Or a new.
I would like to see them do a new IP on a new engine.
That isn't necessarily in the same strain as Fallout and Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, I like their RPGs, but I'd like to see what else they can do.
Yeah, do something else other than an RPG. Oh, we've done one that's in a wasteland, and we've done one that's in like a fantasy. Let's do a space one.
That could actually be awesome.
Space fantasy. Yeah,
then we've got space RPGs for now.
Yeah. Anyway, on to number three. Epic Games has revealed that it will show the Unreal 4 engine at next week's Game Developers Conference. According to Epic, a preview of its next-generation game technology will be shown to select licensors, partners, and prospective customers during the exhibition. The company notes that space is very limited and that the presentation will be viewable by appointment only.
Yep, that should be interesting. If we find anything out about that as consumers.
You will hear about it in a week or two.
Yeah.
Or there'll be a video released, either officially or leaked, I'd expect.
Well, there's always going to be something leaked, but yeah.
We've already seen screenshots of what the next Unreal Engine is capable of. I think it's called Samaritan, is what the project is called. And it's this almost entirely photorealistic, it's just a dude walking down a dark street and it's raining, but it looks just...
Perfect.
Yeah, just on this note, there's a couple of other things I've heard about this. The the next PS4 may be doing away with polygons as a design idea. Like, you know,
what would they use instead?
Particles.
Oh, so that would take a lot more processing, though, wouldn't it?
A lot more processing, and the development would be a lot more difficult, but it would look so much better.
Yeah.
And the other one is... I think it's Konami.
Metal Gear. Yeah.
They have an engine. I can't remember what it's called. I think it's called Fox or Fox Lights, something like that.
Star Fox.
But they put up some screenshots of like side by sides, and one was at the top said, "Can you guess which one is the actual Konami office and which one is the Konami office rendered in this engine?" And they are perfect, identical copies of each other. And then the next one down showed which one, and to show which one was the graphics engine, they just stuck a horse in it. But it looked like a real horse. The office looked real, and I was like, that engine.
It could be a real horse, and they could just have a horse in the office.
So yeah, but like next generation engines are starting to pop up, and they are looking fantastic.
Yeah, so they're definitely being worked with.
It's almost like the leap from PS2 to this generation of graphics is what the next leap is going to be, which I don't think people expected.
Yeah, it's going to be much more real.
You're talking almost photorealistic for everything.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to get me a HD TV by then.
Dan, if you...
I can't believe you haven't got one yet. And if... I can't believe you play all these games, like Battlefield, Call of Duty, fucking Assassin's Creed, and you're like, yeah, I just, I love pixels.
It pains me to think of you playing Battlefield without HD.
You know, when you're like, so beautiful. You sit in your room where like the heating's not working and it's cold, and you're sitting there playing on your square TV, squares, and I bet you come out, and you're like the people that you see in cartoons that they've been playing TV to, and you get square eyes. You've got these little squares in your eyes. You're like, so many pixels.
I can't even see, like, I have a good TV, it's just not HD. It's a big size, like 42 inch or whatever, and it's... I can't
see so many pixels.
I can't see pixels, it's a smooth image, it's not, like...
But it's not sharp, it's not HD.
Is it like, flat screen?
No, it's got a big ass.
It's a 42 inch
CRT.
But
I'm not knocking it. I'm not being like, oh, CRT. Oh. I'm just saying, I like, as someone who uses HD, I can't. I don't want to go back. And when I do ever have to, when I am forced to, I'm like, oh, this is horrible.
Well, I've used HD TVs, and yeah, it looks slightly smoother, but I'm not too bothered.
Slight. Anyway, move on. On to number four. Sony has announced that the PlayStation 3 copies of Bioshock Infinite will include a copy of the original Bioshock for free. According to the PlayStation blog, a free copy of Bioshock will be included on Bioshock Infinite's Blu-ray disc. As previously revealed, the PlayStation 3 version of Infinite will also be enhanced with the PlayStation Move capability. Bioshock Infinite will be released in North America on October 16th, 2012, and will be available internationally from October 19th, 2012.
Right, I'm getting a bit pissed off with America getting stuff early and PS3 users getting extra games.
Well, yeah, get free things thrown in.
Well, you already have Bioshock, Matt.
I've only got I was about to say Bass Effect. The popular fishing RPG.
This giant fish floating around with guns and.
You want some fleesh?
Fleesh.
No, I've only got Bioshock 2. I've played Bioshock. Sam's got Bioshock.
Yeah.
But I've got Bioshock, so I need a copy of Bioshock 1.
It's more like it's the
Bioshock 1, please.
The release date annoys me more than
I don't really get it. It's not like they need those 3 days. Is it 3 days to piss us off, or is it meant to be
based on advertising?
It's always cited as localization is always an issue as well. Apparently,
I guess it might be when's best to release a game in certain countries.
Yeah. Like, they may know that America likes games being released at one point of the week, whereas UK likes games sell better if they shipped on a Friday or something.
Well, yeah, that makes sense on a Friday, though, because you buy it and then you play it all weekend.
Well, the 16th is a Tuesday, so Americans get it on a Tuesday. We get it on a Friday, 19th, so Friday makes more sense.
Yeah.
Well, if you think about it, Sunday television, just to make a comparison, Sunday television here is, what, terrible?
Well, fairly, yeah, whereas that's their big day, isn't it?
Yeah, Sunday television in America is the shit. They have, like, House is on, Walking Dead is on, Family Guy's on, American Dad, Cleveland Show, and any, like, football sport
thing. Everything primetime is on Sunday. But, yeah.
Next.
On to number five. Assassin's Creed 3 character design and box art have been revealed, showing us that the new protagonist appears to be Native American, or at least half Native American, during Revolutionary America.
Who appears to look exactly like Ezio and/or
Well, I'm guessing.
Well, he's not directly related to Ezio.
But he's just wearing exactly the same stuff.
Well, the crest has been changed to be like an eagle, like an American eagle, on the front of his hood cap. So,
I'm thinking he might be like some kind of distant relation.
So that should not change over that amount of time, though, and over that. It's just like, I'm going to wear this.
Yeah, I was talking about this with someone, like, how are they really going to fit in the hood being normal attire for that kind of time? I mean,
no, I understand why they've done it, because people identify with it. And I'm not being funny, you look badass in the hood.
Yeah, but it's got, like, a revolutionary-style jacket on.
Yeah, and then that over it, and he's killing a redcoat, by the looks of it.
Yeah.
So the English are the baddies? Abstergo?
Just for it to work, because the whole memory sequence system that usually works in all Assassin's Creed, I think he has to be some kind of relation between Ezio and Desmond.
Yeah, he's going to be related to Desmond, isn't he?
Well, yeah. It's confirmed that all of these ancestors are directly related to Desmond, but not necessarily to each other. So we don't know yet. Because obviously they're all assassins, so they're all in the assassin order. But
if he's not related to Ezio in any kind of way, I'm starting to get a bit like, how is Desmond related to all these people?
Mm.
It gets a bit confusing in my head. Well, not confusing, a bit not so believable.
Well, like I say, it's not been confirmed, so it's possible they're just not saying. So I don't know.
I've put up with some weird things from this series, and just gone along with it.
Well, Dave, maybe you should just consider it a game and think, well, they've done a pretty decent job of ironing over the cracks, if there are cracks. They might just be that you haven't seen the information that they've released.
You just kind of have to assume that, like, you're seeing it in the way that they've intended, and like,
maybe Assassin's Creed 3 Special Edition will come with a family tree poster you can put up and analyze deeply, Dave.
That would be awesome. Well, no, it's the same with any game or any book or any TV series. There's always a suspension of disbelief. They need to make you ignore certain things.
I don't think it's a massive issue because of the way they go about it. Because like you see these characters independently from each other. There's interaction between Ezio and Altair, but like it's not a massive thing.
It's not a massive issue, but it's something that might pull me out of the experience a little bit. So I'll be like, what? It's just something that bothers me.
They better not release Halo at the same time, because otherwise I'm going to do what I did with Revelations and not play it properly. It's right off.
Anyway, so we get to Ubisoft's take on the War of Independence. So we'll see the conspiracies and imaginations run wild for the newest iteration that has been worked on for 3+ years.
And it's on a new engine.
Yes.
I'm excited for the story, but the new engine I'm excited for. Because
they're always
the same engine since Assassin's Creed 1, isn't it?
No, since 2.
Yeah.
Well, okay, even then, that's still 3 games.
Yeah.
And Assassin's Creed 1 was still pretty similar to Assassin's Creed. Like, it must be a significant up-resing.
Yeah, I imagine it's like the actual kind of gameplay mechanics that will be a big improvement, because like you can make it more and more beautiful, but it needs to be more.
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah. This one's been worked on by the teams who did 1 and 2, because Brotherhood and Revelations were different teams.
Yeah.
So
two was very strong.
Yeah, so this is going to be more like, if there's anything that you didn't like in Brotherhood or Revelations, it's likely that might not be there.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, this is like the Call of Duty system of...
There's
going to be plenty of people that don't care who's worked on what.
Well, no, but they'll have learned from their successes and failures from the last 2 iterations of the series, so...
Hint, multiplayer!
Well, yeah, they're not going to drop multiplayer at this point.
No, but like if they keep multiplayer in, it needs to be... The servers need to be there. The matchmaking system needs to fucking work all the time.
And from a story, we'll wait for this because this is a talking point. What we want.
Yeah.
And now it's the part of the show where I ask my co-host things. So Matt, you have things, and I know what you're thinking.
Yeah. So this is probably most people probably know, but this week, game, which I didn't realise straight away, inadvertently means GameStation. But yeah, because Game owns GameStation. Have announced this week that they will, after SSX, which has already come out, they will no longer be stocking any EA titles. Well, they won't be stocking any March releases, including Mass Effect 3. I've got the release they've sent out for internal use only, so I'll just read like a main bit. So it said they had an event where they explained the challenges that they were, because obviously they're having financial difficulties.
Yeah.
And they said, we asked for their support. We asked them to trade with us using manageable credit terms and for them to continue to do that whilst we work through the strategic review and refinancing of the business. So they've had a restructure, managers have been moved, and they're trying to work out how to get some more capital. I think their bank has agreed them a new loan, but I'm not sure. It says, we gave the industry commitments, we committed to integrity and openness in our dealings and worked with everyone equally. We committed to not only stocking products, not on, to only stocking products on which we could get the right credit terms, regardless of the title or the supplier. We will not stock products if the terms are not right for our business. And then this is the key bit. We will not sacrifice long-term credit requirements for short-term sales opportunities. So what they're saying is they're not going to stock a big game if that publisher is not being reasonable with, well, not compromising with the credit agreement.
If it fucks them over in the long term.
Yeah, which it will. Like, if they have to spend that much buying game, a particular game then, and they can't do it, which basically means they're not stocking the big, the main thing at the minute is Mass Effect 3. Which I, and I had a pre-order with GameStation. I completely understand why they've done it, and it's fine. Like, I get they had to do it for their business. But it meant that, for like me, I bought mine from GameStation. I had the N7 edition, which I only ordered it on there because it's the last place I could find it. And so now I've had to order on Amazon, just getting the standard one, which means that I don't get my N7 edition, and I can't get one anywhere else.
Which, and you don't get the DLC included? Or?
Well, or any of the other stuff, like the little things that I like from it. I mean... They've given everyone who put a pre-order, whether they've paid, like, so if you paid for your pre-order, you get that money back. They've also given everyone a £5 reward voucher.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's okay, but I kind of feel, like, I mean, I guess maybe it's just me being naive, as I didn't realize how close to the time they decided whether they were going to stock something or not.
Mm.
But if I put a pre-order down, in my head, you've made a commitment, I'm pre-ordering to guarantee myself a copy of that game, and if that company hasn't already guaranteed they are buying that game, don't advertise pre-orders.
Well, it's like you know, when we went to Granger Game once, and they had pre-orders available for Battlefield 3, mm-hmm. like long before any information was even really out about it. The game was announced, and then Granger Games were taking pre-orders.
Yeah.
So this just, I think it just seems like an industry-wide practice where they will allow you to pre-order from them because on good faith that we will probably be getting this game in because it's a AAA game.
Well, I think in most cases it's not probably, it's definitely.
Yeah.
But and I imagine that game, like, in all, like, we're going to get, like, they in their head, we are getting Mass Effect 3. Why wouldn't we? It's going to be one of the biggest games of the year.
Yeah, and then it's EA that are being a bit tight-fisted, maybe?
Well, I imagine it's kind of a thing. EA are probably like, this is how we, because they're a big company, they can do this. They'll go, this is what we do, like, we want these credit terms. And Game have said, well, at the minute, we can't. Can you give us a compromise? And EA have said no. I mean, EA will still sell on, they'll still sell just as many online. I mean, in a way, I kind of hope, and this isn't, I don't mean this as in, like, I don't want BioWare to do well out of it or anything like that, but in a way, I'd kind of want Mass Effect 3 to not sell as well as it would have done.
Because it shows, like, how viable game is. People that would have gone and
picked it up in game, don't.
But this is only,
go and get a copy.
This is only UK as well, so it's.
That's what I'm saying. No, but I'm saying it could. I mean, I know it's a lot smaller than the US, like the US market. But if you were to say any UK people that want to buy a copy of Mass Effect 3 that haven't pre-ordered, that were just going to go and pick it up from their game shop, and they don't follow it online, I will imagine we'll go into a game on the 10th or the 11th, and they haven't pre-ordered, they're just going to pick up a standard copy, they just want one. They're going to go and, like, have you got Mass Effect 3? And they'll be like, no, we're not stocking it.
It'll also drop a lot of those import sales where people, like, who don't necessarily follow the series, but maybe have played a Mass Effect 4, go into the store and look and say, no, there's no Mass Effect 3. Oh, well, I just won't pick it up. Or people who'll go in and just go, that looks interesting, and then pick it up.
They might have just, yeah, they might have just, like, picked up a pre-owned copy of like, 1 and 2 and played them and thought, oh, these are great, and not even know that the 3's coming out. And, yeah, as you say, normally they would have gone in. EA are going to miss out on sales, so definitely.
You're losing out on the intended sales. You're also losing out on all the incidental sales, just people who, like you said, just will just pick one up just because it's there.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be a big boost for the game's competitors, though. Game and Game Station, like HMV will
Granger Games is apparently a nationwide brand that I didn't know.
Yeah. No, they're not as big, but they're, yeah.
Yeah, so
this, I'd say I changed mine to Amazon, because I know, this is the thing, it makes me think, because I like to order things from game shops, because I want game shops there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, but my issue is, I'm going to be getting it, I'm obviously going to have to wait a little bit, because I'm a little restricted with cash flow at the moment, so, also, nowhere around me has things.
You'll have to order it, Dave, online.
But like you just said, I'm the same as you. I like to give my money to game stores. So what I'm probably going to end up do is go to Manchester.
HMV or something in Knutsford?
Nope.
Nothing.
Nope.
Tesco, Sainsbury's?
There's a little Waitrose and a little Sainsbury's.
Sainsbury's so, might have it.
No, little Sainsbury's.
As in a local?
Yeah.
You don't have, there's no supermarkets in Knutsford? None whatsoever?
No, it's if you want major stuff, you drive out of town.
Mm.
Which I do, which
you
I,
can't drive.
Which I can't do. Which the best,
no, but
thing, best thing I can do is go into town and catch a train to Altrincham. I can go north to Altrincham or Manchester, or go south to Northwich or Chester.
The thing that annoys me the most, though, is because in the past, obviously, I've never had this problem before. And I, again, I'm completely on game side for what they've done.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like my pre-order isn't a pre-order now. Like, I haven't guaranteed myself a game. Whereas from Amazon or Play, if I say pre-order this game, I know they are going to send me that game on the day.
Well, I imagine it's the same with them. They announce pre-orders when they're sure that they're going to stock it. I'm sure Game were sure that they were going to stock it. And then...
Yeah, but Amazon don't rely on games for their revenue. Amazon are always going to have revenue to buy that.
I know, but it's the same thing. They stock games when they're sure, like, regardless of what the cash flow situation is, obviously Amazon is a little better. They announce pre-orders when they're pretty sure that they'll have them and they can do it. And they can guarantee that they'll ship them out. So Game did the same. It's just the game this time got caught in a situation where it turns out they couldn't. So I think a lot of people are now going to look at pre-orders a lot differently. No longer is a pre-order from a game or a game station or any retailer like that is a guaranteed, I'm getting this game. It's a guaranteed, if they get this game, I will then get it.
Yeah.
It's probably always been like this. Just people don't pay attention to the small details of it.
Oh well, it's a shame, and I feel for them, and I hope they get out of it.
I'm sure they will. They're owned by EBM, and the rest of EBM Global is doing fine.
Doesn't mean they won't
pull. Yeah,
they won't stock. No, it doesn't. No, but doesn't mean they won't stock Halo, Mass Effect 3 in the future.
No,
but yeah.
Also, random
bit of information here. I've just spotted it on my Twitter feed. Apparently Microsoft has snapped up Halo5.com and Halo9.com.
Halo 9?
Yeah.
What about 6, 7, 8?
I don't know. Maybe they already had those.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
That's there we good. Go.
Anyway, let's move on to Ask Dan.
Ask me things, yeah.
By the way, Daniel, your call code just dropped a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit, a lot.
Is it sound like bad? You're talking through one of those 1950s mics.
Yeah.
Again? Oh,
it's alright though.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's your ask, Dan?
Right. Blizzard are laying off 600 people.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Fucking
hell. The World of Warcraft team will be unaffected by layoffs, and 90% of the cuts will come from departments that are not related to any game development at all. So it's mostly admin and all that stuff. But still, it's a interesting thing that they're, I don't know, their strength is wavering, or they're just consolidating their money, or whatever. I don't know.
I don't think their strength's wavering. I think this is just we can cut some costs. We don't actually need all these people.
Yeah.
If they're cutting admin and background staff, compare it to THQ's cutting of background and admin staff. THQ did it because they had to. Blizzard are doing it probably because they just want to.
Yeah, which, speaking of THQ, they're about 50 cents right now, so
yeah,
still...
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'll do a little ask me, which is that THQ is still fucked.
Yeah.
They have,
have a little bit of time.
They have a month or two to get to more than double their stock price, and this comes a month or two after the initial thing. So they, in 2 months, their stock has dropped 25 cents on the share.
Yeah, well, people are losing confidence because of the loss of confidence, so it's a perpetual thing. People aren't going to start buying up these shares unless they've got loads of spare money around, and the economy doesn't allow people to have spare money around. So
THQ are in a just looking worse and worse, and if they get delisted, done.
Yeah.
Bye-bye THQ, bye-bye all of their games.
Well, unless
theoretically,
there's a chance of them being bought out or whatever. But...
Well, the studio, the independent studios that, because THQ is a publisher, not a developed studio, the studios could then go to other publishers, so those games would just get switched to a different publisher. But it would still cause an obvious delay in production. So you could still get Homefront 2 or the Warhammer MMO, or they've got a lot of games going on at the moment.
Yeah, it's like True Crime Hong Kong or something. That was, I can't remember who that was being made by, but they went under. And now they've been, that game has been moved over to a different studio, completely new name.
And it's called Sleeping Dogs, and the trailer is fucking awesome.
Oh, I couldn't remember its name.
Yep.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, True Crime Hong Kong, which is a sequel to True Crime New York. It looks amazing. It's called Sleeping Dogs. The trailer is a live action thing, but apparently basically everything you do in the trailer you'll be able to do in the game. Based on some early gameplay demos that were out for True Crime Hong Kong before it got scrapped.
Yeah.
And it got picked up by Square, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, Square.
Or Deus Ex.
Yeah. So it's got the team behind Deus Ex on it, which is
nice,
brilliant.
My only other brief news is that Black Ops 2 has appeared on some more websites as a listing and then been taken off straight away because it's not meant to be listed yet, but obviously we all know it's coming, so there you go.
I'm a bit, you know, it's an unoriginal title.
Well, it's probably provisional anyway. It might be like, I don't know, Black Ops 2 semicolon something, I don't know.
Call of Duty colon Black Ops colon.
It could just be Black Ops and then a name rather than Black Ops 2, because I'm not really sure Black Ops 2 would have even made sense.
White Ops?
Call of Duty. Racist Ops.
Black Cops?
We've spent ages on news, guys.
Yeah. Let's move on to this week on Xbox Live.
Yeah.
We're going to just go through it.
This week on Xbox Live, as ever, we'll take it in turns. So first off, we have one arcade release, and this is Nexus for 800 Microsoft points. This is the third game in the Microsoft House Party promotion.
Yes. Then on Games on Demand, we have Shadows of the Damned for $29.99.
That's quick.
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 for $14.99.
Don't play! And then third, we have Madden 12 for £50.
Yeah,
suck me off.
I saw that. I was like, ridiculous. That's one day. It's a ridiculous price.
That is obscene.
But that's because games are about. It's going with American prices, that is, I believe. So.
Yeah, anyway.
Then in indie, we have Zombie Crossing.
And then Solar Annihilation.
And then Rectangle Battle.
Then Jigsaw Jumble.
Then Transgression.
And Flycatcher.
Yeah, and then moving on to DLC, I get all the moving ons. We have Rock Band, lots and lots of Rock Band shit, like millions and millions and millions of Rock Band songs.
Dan, if you noticed, I stopped announcing Rock Band shit ages ago.
I know, there's just so many that I wanted to say.
Comes out every week. There's just
and Soul Calibur music packs.
And loads and loads and loads of them.
Yep, and third we have Assassin's Creed Revelations: The Lost Archive, which is single player DLC.
And it's really good, really good. And then moving on to demos, we have Ultimate Ninja Storm Generations, which is a Naruto game.
And
isn't it called Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm Generations?
It says it on the box art, but it doesn't have it in the title.
Well, that's like American Nightmare is actually called Alan Wake's American Nightmare, but it's always just referred to as American Nightmare.
Well, there you go.
And sales and specials this week, Gold Members Only, all Gears of War. Sale on Gears of War 3, Weapon Skins, DLC, and Avatar items.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go on to this week's talk time, which this week is a little bit on what we want from Assassin's Creed 3 and the promised Alan Wake talk from last week.
Well, what should we do first?
Go for Assassin's Creed. Get that board.
All right. Yeah. Well, we already spoke a bit, didn't we? So we know what we already know.
Yeah, I want it to make sense.
So now we just need to go, what do we want from it?
Well, I think it's a really cool setting. It had to come to America at some point because there has to be a direct connection to Desmond, and there has to be like Abstergo moving to America and other stuff like that.
Yeah.
Abstergo didn't, what do you mean Abstergo moving to America?
Well, they were in
the Templars. Well, okay. No, you mean the Templars moving to America and becoming Abstergo?
Yeah, I was going to say, why would Abstergo be moving to America?
The main thing I want to see, and I think we'll see it anyway, because this is the team from 2 and 1, not the team from Brotherhood and Revelations, is you know those weird little gameplay sections? Like, I'm okay with the tower defense section, but I'd have preferred something better. I was okay with the weird parachute, like parachuting off the back of a car section and diving on horses, but I would have preferred something better.
I liked that.
No, but they're good, but really, that's what they want to do with the game. They could have done so much better. Those seemed silly, like genuinely silly.
You know what I want to see?
What?
I want to see Desmond, and again, not that I disliked the stuff in Revelations with Desmond, but Desmond was in the Animus in Revelations.
Yeah.
And you were playing as Desmond in the Animus. And then you did some weird thing with some... Really, the only gameplay you got as Desmond in the Animus is when he runs around Animus Island. And then you are Boxman in those weird Animus things. Other than that, well, you then, don't play as Desmond, do you, really?
No, but then you get the cutscene at the end where he comes out of the Animus and his dad's there. It's like, let's run into this cave.
Yeah, I'd like to see some actual Desmond gameplay.
End of Assassin's Creed 2, you got to run around as Desmond.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. I kind of almost want a game to be
Desmond focused.
Well, it has to be a lot of Desmond moving towards
the problem
it,
is right? I don't think an Assassin's Creed game for a while is going to be just Desmond.
No.
Like, I think they can't go away. They need some sort of period element.
They've got to catch up with themselves. And I think there's I like the setting, and I know that they're constrained by time. But, you know, they have to do this game this year by this point because of the story.
Yeah, with it being 2012.
But I really wish they'd have taken more time, maybe not spent so long on Ezio and Altair's story. Yes, it's good. Yes, it needed doing. But I'd have liked to see them a bit more progression from Italy to revolutionary America.
Yeah, like I would have loved Victorian London, for example.
Yeah, you've got Victorian London in there. You've got I'd have liked to see some Russia as a setting. Yeah.
That's not to say it's not going to happen.
No, I know.
This is a franchise, and this is like the end of the beginning. Like, I almost still feel like we're at the beginning of the franchise.
Yeah.
Which is kind of excites me.
Russia is a place that is likely to get done at some point, because, you know, all those Mediterranean defense games.
Yeah.
Russia is always a main area in those. Obviously not in this one, because this was basically focused on the Middle East and Mediterranean. Mm. But in Brotherhood, there was a heavy focus on Russia and a lot of other places. I'd also like to see Feudal Japan.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That's one I've wanted for a long time as well. I mean, there's also hints at that within memory sections, and there's not a spoiler, but like in the Lost Archive, there's like, you know, when you were playing the Animus, like 3D block sections before.
Yeah.
You sometimes get into rooms and there's like images on the wall, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
There was an image on the wall in this one where there was a samurai.
Yeah.
So that's it. Could be a hint, or it could be absolutely nothing. Who knows?
I just like to see the a lot more variety. Like, I think I definitely like the idea of revolutionary America, because it seems like a really interesting period to play in. And in all honesty, I'm a little bit worn out on like ancient Italy,
Middle Eastern Europe. Yeah, right. And it's because it is such an interesting time, because you've got the English being the bad people, and like we had rule and stuff, and then you've got like the American Revolutionary War, the War of Independence, then you've got the French involvement as well, and other different armies from different places all helping out with the war. And then you've got the Native Americans, who would have been there the whole time, just sitting back like, what the fuck's going on? Let's get this back on path or whatever. So,
hey, Braz, stop fighting Braz. Yeah.
They make me stab you with my tomahawk.
The main thing I want to see is some good character. They have to introduce this character strong, in a really strong way, because this is the first new character we're seeing for years. Years and years and years. Like, I mean, we had Altair, people liked him or didn't like him, and then we had Ezio, and everyone loves Ezio.
And the way they introduced Ezio was had him as a boy, then seeing his dad and brother die, and then had him as a teenager, and then then jumped forward to him starting to become an assassin.
Yeah, they need to make they need to make you care about this guy immediately.
Yeah, which is usually done through family in Assassin's Creed. Some tragedy to his family.
I think with this guy, they can maybe not make forego the family issue, because, you know, it's Native America and American, Native America and the invading. They have a lot of angles to go off this. They don't need to do the whole family thing again.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be good if he was raised as an assassin, knew about assassins from childhood.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't just, oh, you're an assassin, because your dad's dead.
Well, yeah, because he, well, I'll tell you new about, feedback. I'll tell you new about assassins, like he went to train with the Assassin's Temple.
Yeah.
So you've got the pre-existing assassins are famous, here's where they live.
Yeah.
And you've had the hidden, no one knows about assassins, but you're secretly an assassin, lol, sorry, we didn't tell you.
Your dad's dead, now you're an assassin. Yeah.
Yeah. So this, I'd almost like to be a hush-hush, people know about it, but they don't necessarily talk about it, kind of.
Yeah. I mean, it depends if they go on, like, an angle of, like, all Native Americans are in the Assassin Order, or, like you have, the Assassin Order in, like, Masyaf was quite large.
Yeah.
And, like, there was a town right next to the like, castle thing, and they would have all known something. So, like, if they all know something, but then there's the actual assassins in the order as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing is some good visuals. Obviously, it's on a new engine, and it's on in a completely new setting. They have a lot of scope to make this a beautiful-ass game. Because yeah. If you're talking about Revolution America, it depends which part of America you're talking about. Although I'm guessing it's going to be
the actual war. I think we have a hint of it being along the western coast, or eastern coast, along the coast anyway.
Which, sorry, I'm getting heavily confused between east and west at the moment. Which was the west coast?
West coast is
furthest,
like,
away from us.
But like, what's there? I can't remember. Is that California and stuff? Yeah.
West.
You're
is,
looking at the map. It's left, Dave.
Yeah, west is California, San Francisco.
All that, yeah.
I'd have almost liked it to be the. Kind of torn. I think you're gonna have East Coast, kind of like where the Pilgrims were, blah blah blah. But I'd also like to see some Pacific Northwest area. You know, the whole, you know, like Alan Wake's original setting.
Mm.
That.
Well, I think some key parts of history would definitely be played upon, like Boston Tea Party would be a good one.
Battle of Gettysburg.
Yeah. And then
1866.
And then you have all the Washington things as well. Like people have said, have you seen the back of the box art as well?
No.
Yeah.
Well, like there's like in the background there's an army or whatever, and then there's a guy on a horse in like a classic outfit kind of thing, like, and he looks like he could be Washington himself. So he could be playing a key role as a character. Either enemy or who knows.
Well, we've already had Leonardo da Vinci. It would make sense to.
Yeah, key historical figures have definitely been used a lot. I mean, like all the Borgias, for example, and like that family was very influential. For example,
yeah,
so
they had a TV series based on them.
Yes,
which was terrible. Which was terrible.
I liked the first episode. Mm. Lots of sex.
It's a TV show for women.
really? With the amount of death? Maybe.
Should we move on?
Yeah. Let's move on to some Alan Wake talk times.
Alan Wake.
Obviously, last week we talked a little bit about the original, what we liked about the original. We couldn't talk a great deal about American Nightmares. I can't remember if I hadn't played it or just hadn't played a lot of it.
You hadn't finished it?
No. Well, now I've finished it.
Can you understand what I mean about how it uses the areas quite well?
It does. I feel I've been struggling with the whole like use of area. I like the use of area. I'm not entirely sure it couldn't have been done better. Just spoilers, like minor spoilers, major spoilers, I guess, for the whole of Alan Wake's American Nightmare. Friend was interested. It makes you loop back through the game three times, twice.
Yeah, three times.
So, because this is time, you're stuck in a time loop set up by Mr. Scratch, if I remember properly.
Who is essentially your evil self.
Yes. There's actually a lot more backstory than I thought it was going to be from this title. A lot more.
I loved all the videos and the radio things. They were awesome.
Like, you know the whole angle of Mr. Scratch being like, getting you out of the way so that he can let some of the things from the dark.
Well, I thought the whole point was that he was going to take over your life in the real world.
Yeah, but he's doing that also because you have too much power, because you can bend reality. He's getting you out of the way so that he can pave the way for things from the dark universe to come through.
Yeah.
That whole, like, almost sci-fi angle to Alan Wake, which, you know, sci-fi anyway, but that real kind of sci-fi element to it, I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And the fact that it was based on something like this particular American Nightmare was based on something he wrote when he was writing for the show Night Springs, which is essentially the Twilight Zone.
Yeah. Oh, I love the Twilight Zone, the narrator for Night Springs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, remember the radio, this one of the radio shows where someone calls in and asks about the nature of reality, and the guy on the radio is responding, and then his voice keeps interchanging between him and the Night Springs narrator. Fucking love that.
Yeah. And then he's like, and then the guy on the phone's like, what? And he's just some food for thought. And like,
yeah.
Yeah.
there's some really awesome but random, like, metaphysical conversations that happen throughout this game. Like, with the... Oh my god, with this fucking scientist in the observatory. I hate her.
Well, she was irritating the first time.
Her voice acting, horrid. Horrid. I cringed every time she said something. It was genuinely bad.
I thought it was alright.
No, it's just kind of... Oh, no, I didn't like it.
You're allowed to have an opinion, Dave.
It didn't sound natural at all.
I think sometimes she seemed a bit too positive in a negative situation.
The lines felt forced. Like, nothing felt natural about what she was saying.
Okay, that's fine. But yeah, basically, for people that haven't played it, we've been really spaced out. There's three areas. So there's like there's an oil field where there's like a motel and a garage. An observatory, and then a drive-in theatre.
Drive-in by far my favourite area.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, I like the first area. But basically, and instead of, like, in the other Alan Wake games, you're narrated by Alan Wake. And in this game, you're narrated by the kind of Night Springs
Twilight voice Zone guy.
Who's got a really, one of those really good voice. He was brilliant, I loved his voice.
Welcome to Night Springs.
Yes, it was honestly awesome. I loved it, and he spoke at just the right time. But I mean, you're still fighting the same kind of enemies. Some of them have got a few, like there's a few new enemies, like the ones that rather than, 'cause I hated birds in Alan Wake.
Yeah, they were annoying.
Didn't mind the people that consisted of birds. To be fair,
yeah, they were better because the birds didn't attack you. They just like flanked you all the time.
All the enemies were like. At one point, they're a human. They're like a body that you can shoot. So these birds, like these, were like birds that would fly in. You'd hear them fly in, and then they'd form a person. They didn't need to. You didn't need to burn the darkness off them, but they were quite strong.
The splitters were interesting.
Splitters were interesting. Yeah, splitters were like you shine a torch at them, and they if you do any kind of concentrated beam, they split into two, but they get a bit weaker.
Yeah. So you had like
you could either split them up into loads of ones and just shoot them one bullet each, or you could just load into one, but usually I'd accidentally shine the torch on them first time anyway.
Especially when you get like two or three splitters around you, like not just like normal ones, and then you accidentally end up with like 12.
Yeah, it's like shit. Yeah, I've just got all these. Yeah,
the giant,
then those big dudes,
the giants, with the dinosaurs. Yeah, they're interesting.
Yeah,
I hate the grenade guys. Like, they're an interesting idea.
Oh yeah, because you don't know where they are.
Yeah, they're a non-direct enemy, which is interesting because Alan Wake's never really had a non-direct enemy.
Wait, they run away from you.
Yeah, I like that. Irritating to play against, but I liked the idea, the fact that they've done that.
I also liked. It wasn't like playing Alan Wake. It was like, I mean, obviously the same mechanics and everything, but it didn't have the same feel about it, which I think was a good thing. Like. It wasn't. He's been in this world for such a long time now that he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
To a point.
They made you feel more confident as a character in the world.
Yeah, they make. And at some point, you feel badass.
Yeah.
Like, you're walking around, he's like, well, I know what's going to happen.
You know, on the last time you go to the drive in and you're going straight up, and then Mr. Scratch appears and says something, I can't remember what he says. And then the psycho music starts playing, and then you've got like two giants and a bunch of dudes. Yeah. That was just awesome.
Oh, that I really want that music. It's really, really good. Although every time that bit comes on, I'm just going to think of Mr. Scratch on the TV, just like
dancing at you.
But,
yeah, I liked him a lot.
He was good. I like one of the things I like about Alan Wake is the way they've based the character off of a human, of an actual person.
Yes,
and then. then for a cutscene, they don't need to do a cutscene. Well, I think it's a very clever way of doing things.
This is something I highlighted in my review. It's literally one of my favourite parts of the game, and literally something I think a lot of games should do. The fact that
I almost feel like it would reduce the time spent on, like, because you don't need to animate it; they just video it and then put it in the game.
Yeah, there's like you film it and then you do a little rendering, and I'm sure, like it increases file size a little bit. I'm sure
doesn't detract from the experience.
I think it makes it better. Like the way that they used
it
in this, the creative use of not always cutscenes, not always animated, was amazing.
But like, you know, when Mr. Scraps was on the telly,
yeah.
You can almost couldn't tell if it was. It's almost like they videoed it and then they put put something over it, like a film over it, to make it look like it's animated.
Yeah, but such a good use of that thing, and like the cutscene at the end was just amazing.
Mm. And the fact that it's going to return, I'm looking forward to that. And I thought, I've got to say, that's the best 1,200 points I've spent.
That is my favorite XBLA game I have ever played. That game to me shows, like, you know, there are a lot of games on Xbox Live Arcade that come out and they're basically blatantly like, we designed this for Xbox Live Arcade. Just like, it's got like either the bare minimum content or just enough content to justify you buying it. Whereas Alan Wake's American Nightmare almost feels like it's only a little bit of content shy of being a worthwhile £40 retail game. It's
only 6 hours to play.
Yeah, it's got a 6-hour campaign. If the arcade mode was fleshed out a little bit more, maybe had like a co-op arcade section to do, then I would justifiably buy that as a £40 retail game. But this is a £1,200 a 1,200 point Xbox Live Arcade game. It is so good, such good value for money.
And what's 1,200 points like? It's about £15, less than that. £12,
£15. Yeah. So it. I think I ended my review by saying, I think the exact tagline was, unless you hate good narrative, and compelling combat, there's almost no reason not to buy this game.
Mm.
It's fantastic. I had the only thing, the only issues I had was the observatory woman's voice acting bugged the crap out of me. The animation on the NPCs was a bit kind of static. And they paid a lot of attention to a lot of details in some areas, and I felt they didn't put as much attention into the NPCs. And they just kind of stood there and talked to you, and the voice acting wasn't always brilliant, and some of the dialogue was a bit stunted. But it was those are the minor things that I could overlook easily when the rest of the game is so good.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see Alan Wake coming back, like, obviously because this is one of the few, you can argue the few, Xbox Live, Xbox exclusives, and this is one of the best ones. This is one of the ones I'm most interested in.
Although, on Wednesday this week, I want I Am Alive to be another game where I said I'm glad I spent 1,200 points on that.
I'm thinking that's going to be another one. Yeah. Like, we had that discussion on Middleware 2 weeks ago, which is the last episode that went up, and I think it's starting to happen. Alan Wake, to me, that... Like, 5 years ago, Alan Wake's American Nightmare would have been a crappy retail release.
Yeah. Hello, door. Hello.
Hi. My kitchen talking to you.
That was a crappy... Would have been, like, an almost worth it middleware retail release a couple of years ago, whereas now it's a super, super good value for money arcade release. And I think I'm Alive is going to be along the same vein, because if you remember its development history, this is a game that was a AAA retail release cut down to an Xbox Live Arcade game, so I'm expecting a large amount of content and a good, long, lengthy story.
Mm. Yeah, it was overall good.
Loved it.
Yeah. Should we? That's pretty concise, pretty good there. We'll move on.
Let's move on to entertainment.
Jokes.
Anyway, so we're on to this week's entertainment section, which is a catch-up on the past two episodes of The Walking Dead, which is episode 9 and 10, so the second and third episodes are...
Oh, we're doing 9 and 10?
Well, yeah, we're behind two episodes.
So,
did we not do 9?
Thought we did 9.
We're just, oh, yeah, this episode behind. We're 1 episode behind.
Just 10?
Yeah.
10 is, so 10 starts with Rick and Shane driving.
They're taking the
kid with his injured leg.
Fucking rip.
To, well, taking him to dump him somewhere, basically. Yep. But it starts where they pull over and have a chat.
Just before we go into this, I like that they skipped ahead the week. Love it.
Yeah, same. You don't need that bit in the middle.
They've been going really slow time-wise, and I like that they're moving ahead now.
Mm. Yeah, same. But
Speaking of their talk where they stop in the roads, they stop at a crossroads.
It's symbolism. Did you get it, Dan? Did you get the blatant symbolism?
But yeah,
it was literally palm to face when I saw that. I was like, they're at a crossroads.
So they stop, and basically Rick tells Shane that he knows about Laurie.
Wait. I think we need to go back a little bit. We missed something, which is how the episode actually starts.
Isn't that not how it starts?
Them being chased, them being separated. It's
a flashback.
Shane goes and hides in a school bus because there's loads of zombies around him, and there's that guy who's been tied up crawling along the floor with a zombie behind him. And then it cuts back to the road, and you're like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah. Okay.
So they have the talk, and they get everything out in the open, so they both know each other, like what each other knows.
I like Rick establishing his dominance. Like, he's...
I like him saying, whether or not it is your baby or not, it's my baby.
My baby.
Yeah. And he's basically saying, you need to leave her alone.
Something dick.
And trying to get into his head that he can take care of everyone, kind of thing.
Because he's done things, like, even though he's not always aggressive all the time, like...
That he didn't explicitly mention what he'd done. Like, he could have easily said that when I was in town last time, I shot three dudes because they might have been a threat. I didn't know they were going to be a threat. I just thought they were, so I shot them in the face. He didn't say that. He just said, I've done things. Like, he left... Yeah. It's better that he left it unsaid.
Yeah.
But, so, they kind of have a heated discussion, and Shane is a bit moody, and
I don't like Peter Shane.
I mean,
no.
So anyway, they move. This is all focused on those three, isn't it? Really, yeah. And a bit
almost
and a bit to do with Herschel's daughter.
Yeah, who's suicidal.
Well, we can cover Herschel's daughter if you want, and then just cover.
So we'll do. It's Herschel's daughter. It's also Laurie and what's her face, blonde girl, Angela.
She's suicidal.
And Angela already tried to commit suicide. She wanted to stay at the beginning of series one. She wanted to stay and get blown up, and Dale made her leave.
She's coming out of this like comatose state that she went in after she saw like all the zombies get from the bar and get shot. She wakes up and she's still basically just like a fucking shell of a human.
And she's not eating. She's not drinking. And what does she do first? I can't remember.
Well, first she's trying to go and do it, but she has to have someone with her at the same time.
First she takes a knife off of
That's before they figure out she's suicidal. Like, she leaves the food with her, then she comes back later, no food to eat, and takes the plate downstairs, realises the knife's missing. Goes back upstairs, she's just laying on the side holding a knife.
And Andrew's like, give me the knife back. Not Andrew, Laurie.
But then Laurie tells, like, Laurie and the other sister, what's her name, do we know?
Glenn's,
the other sister, are like, you can't let her do it. Whereas Angela is like,
it's her choice.
Let her make her own decision, kind of thing.
Yeah. And that Andrew came through it and
it's not Angela, is it?
I like that here you've got the same split you've got between Rick and Shane, between Laurie and Andrea. You've got the one being really pragmatic. Just let them do it. If they're going to survive, they're going to survive. We need to do what's quickest and best. And the other being, we need to do what's best, but also be mindful of people's feelings, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, because they had, in the kitchen, they had an argument about, it started with the division of labour, and then it turned into, like, what's right and wrong kind of thing.
And then Andrea were basically like, oh, I know that Shane fucked you, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
So everyone's left getting...
And walked away.
Everyone's telling everyone everything in this episode. Everyone knows everyone's secrets, and no one's hiding anything else.
Yeah,
that we know of.
So we can accelerate the suicide bit. Essentially, Andrea gets left in charge to stick with her for a bit,
But then she buggers off.
And she basically says, it's your choice, and walks out. Yeah. And she goes into the bathroom and breaks a mirror, cuts herself a bit, and then decides...
But then they break through the door and stop her there.
Yeah, so. Again, like, it is like ham-fisted symbolism. They make the same... they draw the same comparison between Rick and Laurie as they're doing the entire episode, which is that Laurie left it to try and handle it tactfully, but as soon as something needed doing, she just fucking broke the door down.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, action when needed, not action for the sake of action.
Yeah.
But the point was that Andrea was kind of right, because she let her make her right decision and she wants to live.
Yeah. Well, that was...
She had to go through it to get...
We shouldn't maybe... No, what the others don't agree in the way it is, and what's it, the other sister says you're not allowed in the house anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that's the minor bit of the episode.
That's those people, yeah.
So then carry on.
Then we go
on.
Back is to it it's a government like building place. There's a school bus there, but I'm
not. Oh, you think it's like a place where they've been to...
Because there was a big petrol tanker there. There was a school bus there. It was some kind of government department.
It was a municipal something.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were police there, but there were school buses as well. So
it would have been used as like a shelter, refugee place. Yeah.
But there was a fence around the outside, so they went in through the fence. But one thing that I don't know if you really picked up on how key it was, because it could have been passed over. You know when they first get there?
It's the one about the knife.
And he says, "Yeah, that's from the comic." And they use that all the time in the comic. Get them up to the fence. When they get to the fence, just stab them in the head.
Yeah.
And they use that all the time.
I like the TV series to me has been a bit reckless with realism. Like, they're too loud when they wouldn't be that loud. They're wasting bullets when...
And conserving ammunition in general.
Now they're starting to get to the point that if you keep being that unrealistic, people are going to pick up on it and go, well, why are you being so loud and douchey?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think...
People that could be nearby, they hear gunshots... And these people can't find them, you know?
I think it was used effectively as a tool for Rick to tell Shane this is the way it's going to be done as well. Yeah. Like, I'm still in charge, you do what I say.
But the fact is Shane does it, so...
Yeah, because he knows that it's the right thing to do, it's just that he wants to do things his own way, so...
So then, So then they find a place to leave him, don't they?
Yep.
Yeah.
They throw a knife on the floor a bit further away so he can crawl to it and unhook himself and go when
they're gone. Although Shane just wants to kill him because
No, that doesn't come up straight away. They were just going to leave him. But then as he's walking away, he's like, you can't leave me here. And he's like, I knew Maggie, her name. I knew Maggie in school. And he's like, what?
And then he goes on to say like where the farm is, knows about his dad, her dad. And...
He knew Maggie, therefore he knows where she's from.
Yeah.
Therefore...
He could tell people.
I could find you.
So then Shane's like, we've got to kill him.
Yeah, but of course Rick again is, it shouldn't be that easy and quick to kill someone.
Yeah, so Rick says, yeah, we may well kill him, but I'm going to sleep on it. That's what he says. He says that a few times. He's like, I'm going to sleep on it.
And Shane gets all pissed, like, you can't sleep on it.
Just got to do it or not, yeah.
So he goes for the shot.
So, and basically they get into a massive fight.
Yeah.
A massive loud fight.
And then zombies.
and then all the zombies come out of the building.
Because a wrench gets thrown through a window and that wakes up zombies.
I like it when the zombies... Have you seen that? You know when the zombies are coming out the window?
Yeah.
A good few of them just kind of fall out the window.
They are shambling zombies.
I find it kind of weird that, like, the zombies had...
Didn't come from the gunshot.
It took them breaking the window for the zombies to realize there were people out there, or was the building soundproofed?
Well, yeah, I think that's what it is. I guess that's what it's
meant to be. Zombies would have heard the gunfire from earlier, the fighting that was loud, the shouting. And zombies can break through windows.
Maybe then breaking the window gave them a way to get out.
It's not like zombies couldn't break windows.
Yeah, from the shots and the shouting, they should have been at least pouring at the window. Mm. So.
But anyway.
Yeah, but anyway.
So they have evidently stopped fighting. They're both pretty beaten up.
Yeah. I like that Rick was pretty much winning as well. So. Rick was pretty much winning. Well, they both got blows in, but Rick was winning.
Yeah. But then, so they get split up. Rick gets three zombies piled on top of him that he kills.
I love that bit. That like the headshot, you know, when he's through the mouth.
The third one's like trying to get them, and there's two zombies on top.
Yeah, through the mouth shot. I fucking love that. And to have to do three shots. And I like also how when the zombies are on top of him, they're like, the zombies seem to be kind of aware that a gun is being pointed at them and what that means. Because the zombies like pouring it out the way kind of thing. I keep saying pour as if they have paws, but...
Yeah, but I know what you mean, like an animal.
Yeah.
But and then Shane gets on a bus.
Yeah.
And the key thing about him on that bus is he uses the... He puts blood on, from his hand on the door, like, because they kind of have a gap, and they're like licking at it. Well, I was reading something about this. That's the first instance where we've ever seen them go for blood rather than just people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. But anyway, they're going for the blood, and he's using Rick's thing of stabbing them in the head.
Yeah, but then after a couple of stabs, he loses his knife.
Whole episode and systematically stab them in the head.
I liked there's almost an irony in this fact that Shane is in a situation where he has to use the knife, and Rick is in a situation where he has to use the gun.
Yeah. But first he walks away with the boy and is like, "I'm going to leave him."
Well, I think that was his first
choice.
Yeah, and then he had a second thought, like, it's like he couldn't kill the boy straight away, so why can he kill Shane straight away?
Yeah, exactly. So, but then he does let the boy drive the car, so he comes past shooting them, Shane gets in the car, and they get away.
His neck to the chair, so
yeah, that's quite funny, yeah. And they get away, and then isn't that where it ends, really? And there, Shane's sitting there, like Rick tells him something, and then Shane's just sitting there, really all moody. And
Shane, yeah, he's staring off in out the window. I like that camera angle. I like the
it ends on him looking at that zombie that he saw at the beginning.
Yeah,
yeah, middle of the field kind of thing.
Symbolism. There's some symbolism there. I couldn't quite figure out what it was though.
Like, I don't know, lost walking in the field. Or, I don't know, just feeling lost, feeling like a lone person in the middle of an empty field.
Yeah, being lost. I think that's kind of what they were getting at.
Too much symbolism?
Too much. Like, fucking palm in face. Look at what I'm telling you, symbolism.
Crossroads.
Anyway, good. What was the episode called? Was the episode called Crossroads?
No.
No, I can't remember.
Good. Anyway, it was good. Yeah. So, that's pretty much
now
it.
We're at a point where next episode, I'm almost struggling to see where they're going with it. Like,
well, I think, now the way they're doing it, I think they are going to leave the farm, but I think it's going to be very different to the way they do it in the comic, and I think they're going to, and I think it's going to do it like, they're going to either leave in the second to last episode and then get to where they're going in the last episode, or they're all going to leave on the last episode, like they did in series one, like we're on the road again, kind of thing.
I kind of don't want them to wait that long, because I think the farm's been drawn out too much now.
No, I know what you mean. Something major has to happen.
What I want is, like, in a couple of episodes' time at most, like, either they get overrun at the farm.
There's only three left.
I just want something major to happen.
Yeah. There's three episodes left, so there could be another episode on the farm or something at the end of this one.
There's three left.
There's 13 in the series.
Sweet. Right, okay.
Next series is 16.
Okay. In that case, three episodes left. Next episode, I want something major.
Yeah.
Or at least the end of the episode to be something major.
Yeah.
So like end on an awesome cliffhanger for the penultimate episode, then the penultimate episode is that ends on something else awesome. Then the last episode hopefully doesn't end on too much of an annoying cliffhanger.
Would be good if the 13th episode was like a bumper episode.
I mean like a 2-hour.
2-hour one would be nice. But yeah, that's pretty much covered.
Sweet. I'm trying to think if I watched anything else.
Oh, yeah. I watched Die Hard. It was good. He's an unlucky man.
Yeah, he is. Always at Christmas.
Yeah. I can't wait for Die Hard 4 to turn up. I can't see what's going to happen.
The episode, by the way, was called 18 Miles Out, because that's how far they've driven out.
Well, my... I didn't have a name. Because I was watching it on legitimate televisions and everything.
Well, I've just looked on TV.com, but yeah.
Cool. Anyone else watch anything worth noting?
I've been watching lots of Parks and Recreation.
That's what?
Watching lots of Star Parks and Recreation.
No idea what that is.
It's a spin-off of The Office. It's in the same... I've talked to one of you about this, can't remember who. It's the same style as The Office, but instead of it being The Office, it's in a government department.
Oh, yeah, this was me you told me about.
Yeah. And it's the same as The Office. It's a boring situation, but the characters make the story. And you've got insane, like, wacky characters. You've got people who are, like, exaggerated traits of people we all know kind of thing. And it's good.
I haven't really watched anything. I've done a lot of reading. So I am. 476 pages into book 3 of Game of Thrones. Well,
it's insane.
Song of
dude.
Ice and Fire. Yeah, but it's awesome. It's so. Well, okay, I'll say something. This book is dragging a bit in the middle. It's gone to the point where there's a lot of. Not exposition, but just a lot of stuff that needs to happen before more exciting things will happen. It's just getting through. Yeah. And as with any long narrative, like, this is several books to do. So there's going to be sections where it's a bit more. Let's talk about what's happening as opposed to let's do something awesome.
Yeah, and what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's just hinting at things. Occasionally something interesting will happen, like a character just lost a hand and I did not see that coming. But yeah, I'm loving it. For anyone that knows the books, I'm on A Storm of Swords, Volume 1, Steel and Snow.
Mm.
And it's so good. I'm almost finished, which means I may have to go pick up Volume 2 pretty soon.
Yeah.
So good. I can't wait for Game of Thrones season 2 starts in April, by the way. I'm gonna want to talk about it, season 2. So either I'll be talking about it by myself, or people may have watched some of season 1.
When does it start? Sorry,
April 1st, I think.
Well, maybe I'll watch series 1 when I'm at home for Easter, and then catch up on series 2. So I'm with you.
Okay, Dan.
Maybe. But doubtful.
That's a no.
Oh, come on, yeah. you're the one that told me to watch Game of Thrones the first time.
I know, like, but the thing is, I like it, but in all this time, I've never had the desire to go back to it. Mm. So, I don't know.
I've got the desire to do a wee, so we wrap this up.
We have no reading mail this week, so that is everything for episode 42 of the Xbox Bantercast. Remember that you can and should send us emails and questions to bantercast@hotmail.com. Or you can send us messages on Twitter to @TheBantercast. If you want to talk to us individually on Twitter, I am @TGF_David.
I'm @Lord_Atom.
And I'm @GammaJason.
And remember to also head over to thegamefanatics.com for the latest in video game news, reviews, as well as lots of tech stuff. And to read things that I write, like my Alan Wake review, which is up at the moment.
And to read my criminal record, check out... I don't know where I was going with that.
Way. Anyway, that is all for this week, and thanks.
Bye.
Goodbye. Bye.